Ever get that sinking feeling? Maybe not literally, when you see a news story and think, wait, this is bigger than they're letting on.
Definitely. Sometimes one small event, it's like a crack in the surface. You know,
Yeah.
it reveals a whole lot more going on underneath.
And this time, that crack is a Navy ship, the USNS Bighorn. Ran aground in Oman. Not exactly front page news for most folks, I guess.
Right, but it should be. See, this isn't just about one ship having a bad day. It's about the fuel, or the lack of it, for a good chunk of the U.S. Navy in the Middle East.
So fill us in. Why is this fuel shortage such a big deal? We're not talking about like running out of snacks on a road trip here.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Imagine a whole carrier strike group, the Abraham Lincoln strike group, actually, almost dead in the water because they can't get refueled. That's what we're talking about.
Okay, now that got my attention. But how did it even get to this point? What's the story with this Bighorn ship anyway?
Well, the Bighorn itself, it's one of those older single-hull tankers. Remember those? They're supposed to be phased out, especially after that whole Exxon Valdez mess.
Right, the oil spill, everyone remembers. That was a huge deal for changing how we transport oil. So the Navy's still using these outdated ships. Seems risky.
You said it. They're less safe, less efficient, and now one's stuck on the sea floor. Which brings us to the bigger problem.
Which is that there just aren't enough of these refueling ships, period, regardless of whether they're single hull or not.
Exactly. And it's been an issue bubbling under the surface, so to speak, but this Bighorn situation, it's blowing the whole thing wide open.
So, what happens now? Does the Navy just park its ships until they figure out the fuel situation? What about this carrier strike group?
It's a real dilemma. They're considering using commercial tankers as a stopgap. But even that has a ton of complications. These things aren't as simple as pulling up to a gas station, you know.
There's a whole lot more to it than meets the eye, right? We'll get into the nitty-gritty of that in a bit, but first,
Yeah.
this fuel shortage, isn't it part of a larger pattern? I mean, the Navy's had that Red Hill fuel leak in Hawaii, too.
Bingo. This isn't just a Middle East problem. It's systemic. And it raises some serious questions about the Navy's ability to do its job, not just in one region, but globally.
And that's what we're going to unpack today on the deep dive. We'll look at what this all means for, well, all of us, because this isn't just a military issue, is it?
Not by a long shot. But to understand how we got here, we need to go back a bit.
So we're back talking about this fuel crisis in the Navy. And one thing that really stuck with me from the article, you mentioned using commercial tankers to fill the gap. Is that even feasible?
It's a bit of a Hail Mary, to be honest. The Navy has definitely looked into it, but it's not like calling up your local gas station and asking for a delivery, you know.
Right. I imagine there's a bit more to it than that. What are some of the hurdles there?
Well, for starters, those commercial tankers, they're not built for refueling a warship on the open ocean. The equipment's different, the procedures, it's a whole other ballgame.
And I'm guessing safety has to be a major concern too.
Absolutely. You're talking about transferring thousands, maybe even millions of gallons of fuel in potentially rough seas. One wrong move, and, well, you can imagine the disaster.
So it's not just a matter of finding tankers that are available. They need very specific capabilities and, more importantly, the right people to handle them.
Exactly. This is where the training aspect comes in. And something a lot of people don't realize. You can have the fanciest equipment in the world, but without the right people to operate it, it's
Well,
useless.
so even if the Navy does go down this route, it's not like flipping a switch. It'll take time, resources, and even then, it might not be enough.
It's a band-aid on a bigger wound, really. And it highlights the importance of having dedicated, purpose-built refueling ships within the Navy itself, something they've been lacking, unfortunately.
Which brings me to something else I found interesting in Isaac Kibios's reporting for the Military Report. He doesn't just say, hey, the Navy messed up. He digs deeper, right? Into the long-term factors.
He's got his finger on the pulse, that's for sure. Decades covering military affairs, he's seen it all. From shipyards to combat zones, that firsthand experience really shows in his writing.
Yeah, you can tell he's not just regurgitating press releases. So, according to his reporting, what's led to this shortage in the first place?
Well, he points to a few things. One is the sheer age of the current fleet. Many of these refueling ships are nearing retirement, and the replacements aren't coming fast enough.
So it's kind of a perfect storm. Aging ships, not enough new ones, and now this incident with the Bighorn exposing just how vulnerable the whole system is.
Precisely. And it's not just about building new ships either. It's about having qualified crews to man them.
Right, because it's not like you just hand someone the keys to a billion-dollar ship and say, good luck.
Exactly. These are complex vessels that require specialized training. And that takes time, resources, and a whole lot of expertise, all of which are in short supply these days.
This is really starting to feel like a much bigger issue than just one grounded tanker. We're talking about the Navy's ability to operate effectively around the world.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
And here's the kicker. It impacts all of us, whether we realize it or not.
That's what I was just thinking. This can't be good for our standing in the world, can it? I mean, everyone's watching, right?
Oh, absolutely. And taking notes. It's a signal to our adversaries and our allies about our ability to project power. And right now, that signal's pretty weak.
Okay, so not great on the global stage. But what about here at home? What are the real-world implications for everyday Americans?
This is where it gets really interesting.
So we've talked about how this fuel shortage impacts the Navy's ability to operate. But how does this translate to, you know, real-world consequences for everyday Americans?
It's easy to think of this as something happening over there, you know, far away. But a big part of what keeps the U.S. safe, economically strong even, is our ability to project power globally.
Project power, meaning? Remind me here.
It's about being able to respond to threats, protect our interests, all over the world. And a big part of that is having a Navy that can be anywhere it needs to be, ready to go.
Which relies on fuel, which they're running out of. Got it.
Exactly. And when that ability is compromised, it creates instability. Our adversaries see it, our allies see it, and it emboldens some while worrying others. That can lead to all sorts of unpredictable situations.
So more than just, say, gas prices going up, though I imagine that's part of it.
Oh, economic impacts are a given. But think bigger. Trade routes disrupted, emboldened adversaries taking risks, maybe even conflicts escalating because the U.S. can't respond as swiftly.
Okay, now that's getting serious. But is this really something we need to be worried about right now, or is this more of a long-term concern?
Both. To be honest.
Yeah.
This Bighorn incident has thrown a wrench in the works immediately, but it's also indicative of a larger trend the Navy's been grappling with for years.
Which is, to recap, not enough ships, right? Specifically, these refueling tankers.
Right. And not just the ships themselves, but the trained personnel to operate them. It takes years to build these specialized vessels and even longer to train their crews.
So it's not like we can just throw money at the problem and fix it overnight.
Exactly. This requires long-term planning and consistent investment, and frankly, it requires a shift in mindset. We tend to focus on the shiny new weapon systems, the jets, the destroyers.
But logistics are just as crucial.
Absolutely. Wars aren't won by firepower alone. You need to be able to get your forces where they need to be, when they need to be there, and keep them supplied.
Which brings us back to this fuel shortage. It's like the old saying, amateurs talk tactics, but professionals talk logistics.
Couldn't have put it better myself. This isn't just about one ship running aground. It's a wake-up call about the critical importance of investing in our military infrastructure, in the often overlooked but absolutely essential support systems that make everything else possible.
So what can the average person do besides, you know, worrying about it?
Stay informed. Dig deeper than the headlines. Understand the issues at play and how they impact our nation's security. And then make your voices heard. Contact your representatives, support policies that prioritize our military readiness, and advocate for smart, strategic investments in our national defense.
Because this isn't just a problem for the Navy to solve. It's a national security challenge that demands attention and action from all of us.
Exactly. And the more we understand about the complexities of global power dynamics and the crucial role of logistics in maintaining peace and stability, the better equipped we'll be to navigate the challenges ahead.
Well, that's a sobering thought, but an important one. As always, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Be sure to check out Isaac Cubillo's full article over at the Military Report for even more on this critical issue. And until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.